I'm speaking with Matthew Johnson Idam, development economist from UNDP Fiji, about the latest Human Development Index. Thank you for agreeing to speak with me, Matthew.
You're very welcome.
What is the importance of this report?
So the Human Development Index was created, I think, back in 1990. And the idea was that it would take a more rounded view of what really matters in terms of development than what was perceived to be an excessive focus on a small number of mainly financial metrics, particularly GDP. So what they came up with was a composite index, which included things like progress on health, progress on education, as well as progress on national income, so that we can really keep front and center what really matters in terms of human development when we're thinking about measuring progress, setting policy, and making investments.
And it's a global report, isn't it?
It is. It covers 189 countries this year.
And what Pacific Island countries are included?
So to some extent, this question depends on where you draw the lines. So Australia and New Zealand are definitely included. In fact, Australia performs very, very well, coming third in the world overall. But of the countries which we would traditionally see as Pacific Island countries, it includes Palau, Federated States of Micronesia, and for the first time, the Republic of Marshall Islands up in the North Pacific, and then Kiribati, Solomon Islands, Vanuatu, Fiji, Samoa, Tonga, and Papua New Guinea. So a total of 10, what we traditionally call Pacific Island economies.
Now, what were the results? Because I presume the index has a scaling measurement.
It does. So it combines various indicators to give us a composite number, which varies between 0 and 1, and on its own isn't particularly intuitive. So it's useful to look at benchmarks of how Pacific Island economies compare to elsewhere. And the Human Development Index report combines the world economies into 4 broad groups, the top of which is the very high human development group, which no Pacific Island countries quite make it into, although Palau is very close. And then the second group is the high human development index group, which includes, in order, Palau, Fiji, Tonga, Samoa, and the new entrant, Republic of Marshall Islands. And then the group below that is the medium human development group, which includes the Federated States of Micronesia, Kiribati, and Vanuatu. And then the final group is the low human development, which includes the Solomon Islands and Papua New Guinea. So Pacific covers almost a full spectrum of all the groups that are included in the report, which I think is a strong indicator of the amount of diversity that we have in the region.
And just picking up on the Solomon Islands and Papua New Guinea, just very briefly, what put them in the bottom?
So they face challenges for a number of reasons. I mean, Solomon Islands in particular, we know about the recent history with the Ramsi interventions. Papua New Guinea, the geography is so challenging in contexts like that. And with the Human Development Index, it takes into account this broad range of factors. So it includes things like life expectancy, which you have to make progress on so many different fronts in order to improve. So just the geography of these places, as much as anything else, makes them very, very challenging to make progress in.
And the Ramsi interventions, you mean there was conflict there previously?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So just on progress for women, do you see indication of progress for women in the Pacific?
Sure. So we have gender disaggregated data on education for 6 of the 10 countries. And in 4 of those, the number of expected years of schooling for female students is greater than for male students, which means that for young Pacific Islanders in those countries, we'd expect them, based on the current enrollment data, to go to school for longer than men. So that's a good indicator and points towards progress on gender inclusivity, at least during the early years of young Pacific Islanders' lives. But there are clearly challenges that have come later. And one indicator that's worth really pulling out here is the number of female parliamentarians. So obviously, very small number of people go on to become members of parliament. So we're talking about a very small share of the population, but it's worth looking at it because of the very important role that group play, both in terms of actually making decisions and their role as role models for young Pacific Islanders. And of those 10 countries that are included in the Human Development Index report this year, the one with the highest number of female parliamentarians is Fiji, which has only 16%. Now, it's worth pointing out that that's not the highest in the region, which I believe is Niue with 25%. But either way, we're still a long way from parity there. And when you look at labour force participation rates, male rates are higher than female across the board. So I think these things start to point towards some of the challenges that women in the region face, and the fact that we've still got some way to go before we've created societies that are truly fair for men and women across the region.
And how's the Pacific doing compared to the rest of the world?
Well, happily, progress is being recorded, you know, across the world. So the report is clear that on average, people are living longer, they're receiving more education, access to more goods and services than they ever have done before. So it's not just the Pacific that's making progress, but the geography of the Pacific isn't like anywhere else. So there are some clear special challenges for this region. So if you look at the index themselves, 5 of the 10 Pacific Island economies have scored higher than the average for small island developing states across the world. Well, there were only 2 are higher than the average for the East Asia Pacific region.
And is this an important tool for the Pacific to realise the 2030 Sustainable Development Agenda?
It's one of the tools. And the 2030 Development Agenda was deliberately set out to be comprehensive and take into account a range of things. And there's a lot of data monitoring activities that goes into the measuring progress towards that, both within the UN system through our UN Pacific strategy and more broadly. So lots of countries are taking part in the voluntary national reviews to the UN in New York. I think 5 Pacific countries are taking part in that next year. Plus their specific regional report, which is being prepared this year. So there's a lot of data efforts that go into monitoring progress towards the 2030 agenda. But the HDI is, I think, an important part of that process.
And as a development economist, are you positive?
I am very positive. I think this is a good news story for the Pacific, and it shows that progress can be made despite all those challenges, and that the region should be proud of that. There are still definitely obstacles to be overcome and a long way to go in many areas, but I think overall this is a good news story for the region.